All right, welcome back. Picking Up Strangers, episode 47. So far, I was able to get two up in a row, Friendly Frank. What do you think about that?
That's great, man.
Good. How you doing, buddy?
I'm all right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's new?
What's new? Well, in Uber world, what's new?
Sure, let's start with Uber world.
It's been going pretty good.
Yeah.
Except for, I may have mentioned this, you know, a lot of people, Uber was their side job.
Uh-huh.
Then when the pandemic hit, people were like, I'm not doing that side job anymore.
Okay.
I'm going to focus on my main job. So we lost a few drivers.
Mm-hmm.
And trips were a little bit longer. And
good.
Then when the gas prices went up, the part-time people that were doing it part-time, they got out because, you know, if you only work in a couple of hours, you're not going to make up that difference between what you're burning up in gas and what you're making for some people. Mm-hmm. And so we lost, I think, a few more drivers. So now, if you're driving full-time, you probably figured out that your trips are farther than what they usually were. Usually, I say 2 to 5 miles for a pickup. And I've had some now that are 11 miles. The longest one was 17 miles.
Now, are they still paying you for a long pickup? I remember at one point, I don't forget if it was Lyft or if it was Uber, but
I think that's Lyft.
If you're going to do a long pickup, they'd give you $5 or something like that.
If they cancel.
No, this is before.
You,
no,
they'll give you the miles to go.
Just it used to be that you would see it. It would pop up, be long trip pickup bonus or.
No, that's Lyft.
Oh.
But you know how the trips come up, and I try to keep my percentage of acceptance over 95%.
Still letting them tell you what to do, huh?
No, that's just what I do. Because mm-hmm. what I found out is sometimes those people, and they're not like big trips, you know, mm-hmm. but some of those people are just trying to get home from work, or this weekend, you know, people were like, you know, just trying to get to see mom. I've had people, please don't cancel on me, please. And most people don't think they either care or realize how far distance you're traveling to pick them up. There's a few people that do. But for the most part, it's like, you know, they don't care as long as they get picked up. It's just, you know, you drive a little farther to get trips.
Well, I'd think that the lack of drivers would mean that business is way more plentiful.
Yeah, but, you know, you get in certain areas where there's hardly, you know, it seems like there's no Uber drivers. You know, say Ladera Ranch or
right.
Mission Viejo. So, you know, I've gone from there to Dana Point.
Right.
And picked up somebody for, you know, wasn't a big trip. But, you know, people have to get where they're going. And, you know, I'm a little liberal when it comes to when I come to pick you up and you're not ready, because I realize that the wait times for pickups are a little bit longer because there's not as many drivers. Mm-hmm. So it's taking them a little bit longer to, you know, pick a passenger up. So sometimes, you know, I'll get a trip and, oh, it's only, you know, I drop off one person and it's 2 miles to the next person, and you get there within, you know, 5 minutes and they're not ready. So I give them a little leeway. A lot of people, I'd say half the people, you know, they apologize, you know, oh, I'm so sorry. And they explain, you know, the last time I waited, you know, 15 minutes and you came in 2 minutes. And I'm like, it's okay. But the ones that don't apologize, you know, it's like I picked up this girl at a mall, and we start driving. Maybe I go 20 feet, and she's like, can I go to the bathroom?
Okay.
I'm like, huh? She's like, I really have to go to the bathroom. Okay. So we're still at the mall. So she starts walking and then realizes I could drive her up to the next little restaurant. And she hops in. And I don't know. I'm pretty sure she went to use the bathroom. But, I mean, she must have had to drop a deuce, man, because she was, you know, I thought it would be like one of these little quick pit stops. I was like, I was waiting for over 5 minutes. I was like, dang, what is she doing in there? I hope nobody has to go in behind her. She's a little petite little thing. But, you know, sometimes small packages have big surprises, I guess. I don't know. I just thought it was, I'm like, oh, why wouldn't you do that before you got, you know, the Uber?
Maybe she was having tummy trouble.
I don't know. She was a young chick. I just think she probably wasn't thinking. Or she was like, oh, I don't want to miss my Uber. So she's standing out there waiting. And then I have to use the bathroom. I thought that was funny.
I had a right, not too long ago, my son kind of sprung on us that he was going to prom, and then wanted to...
How do you spring that on you?
Just the week before, said, oh, by the way, I'm going to prom with my buddies.
Oh.
And I was like, I'd really like a more heads up for this kind of stuff. But anyhow, so it ended up that we were going to host his friends and their parents, for like the little pre-dinner, which was fine. But we also had plans that night to meet up with somebody. We had those plans first. Anyhow, so what I had done is I scheduled the Uber to come at the time that I thought that they were leaving. Well, they decided to stay an additional 15 minutes. So we're outside and, you know, we're doing the pictures. We're not dressed to even go yet. And I see the guy pull up. I go, okay, let me go talk to this guy real quick. I go, hey, man. I go, here's the deal. I said, all these people were supposed to have been gone by now. He's like, do you mind hanging out for 10, 15 minutes?
What?
You know, I'll make sure that I'll take care of you. I said, you know, I'm not going to waste your time, but that's about how long it's going to take. So he said yes. Now, here's the deal. I understand that probably drivers here all the time, just like I used to, and you probably still do. I'll take care of you, you know, I'll make sure to tip you. And, you know, as soon as you hear it, you just never expect it to happen. So it took us about 15 minutes. We finally got in the guy's car. I said, I really appreciate you waiting. Thanks a lot. And I actually ended up tipping him before the ride was even over. So I gave him, I think, $30 or $20, something like that. But then the dude still, like, had attitude throughout the ride. I'm like, I gave you the option. You could have said no. You could have said no. I got shit to do. You're in Diamond Bar. You're probably going to be dicking around here for 10, 15 minutes looking for a ride anyways. But I was just kind of a little perturbed that there was fucking attitude when we'd already talked about this and it should have been no problem. Been actually getting a lot of attitude with a lot of drivers lately. And I don't understand what the problem is. I always go back to the thing, if you don't fucking like it, stop doing it.
You know, I told this one guy, he was riding with me, he was an Uber driver. And I told him, he was complaining about people and, you know, making noise, playing their music in his car and, you know, all this. I was like, do you like driving? He goes, yeah. He said, it's just the people that get on my nerves. So why don't you drive for Uber Eats? Then you don't have to worry about people in your car playing music or making annoying noises and stuff like that. And it was almost like he hadn't even considered that. You know, it's like if you can't work with people, then why do you have a job where you work with people? You know?
Right. And to be put out by it, it's like, no, you kind of signed up to be a service. Nobody yeah. really has to appreciate you or make comment. It's a transactional, I need a ride, you agree to give it to me. And then if fun stuff happens throughout the time, then that's a bonus.
Well, you know, here's a way that some people, if you're going to have a driver waiting for you, you know, you can tip before the trip starts, right? If I'm not mistaken, you can put the tip up front.
I'm trying to remember. I feel like on longer rides, you can add a percentage. But I don't remember right off the bat.
But that'd be a good way of avoiding. But
I don't know if they get that, though. I don't know if they get that or, like, see that until they close out the ride. Even if they do close out the ride, I don't know that they see you got a $5 tip.
Yeah, I don't know if it happens all the time. But I know the few times that someone's like, hey, man, I'm going to tip you up front for waiting for me. Before I even start the ride, and then, you know, you get a little notification, $5 tip.
I think they should, I still think that they should put people's names on it. You know what I mean? Unless you go back into, like, your whole trip readout, I don't think you even see who gave you a tip or not.
I do.
You see the driver or the rider?
It'll give me a notification. And then a little map of where they went. And
oh, but it doesn't tell you who the person was. You got to fucking put the pieces of the puzzle together.
Well, you send them a thank you. They give you that option.
But is the person's name there, is my question.
I'd have to double check, but I think so. If you press that trip, the name will pop up. I've never done it. I just, you know, they give you that option to thank them, and I always thank them. And I go through that list of tips, and it'll take me to that trip, and then I can go, you know, thanks. Which I think is a nice touch.
Yeah. It is. I don't think I've ever gotten a thanks, but...
I make sure I thank everybody. Thank you. I think I got last week like $150 in tips.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, and it's the same, you know, it's the same story that I always say. the people that tip you the most are the ones that make the least. If you look percentage-wise of what their income is versus, you know, everybody else's income, those people tend to tip you a percentage larger than, you know, if I'm picking up somebody from, say, you know, fast food restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it means more to me when they give me $5 than the person that I picked up at Hidden Hills Country Club. And he gives me $5. And I go through two gates to get to his house. Okay. I mean, it's not that I don't appreciate it, but we can look at, you know, mileage. We can look at, you know, how I provided the service, and it's the same. But you would think, if you have more disposable income, that you could tip a little better.
Why is that? I don't agree with you there. Why?
I'm sure you don't.
You make more money, should you be or should you feel obligated to tip more than somebody who does not?
If you have more disposable income,
okay,
I think that you should tip a little better. See, that's part of the reason why I had a problem with, you know, some of the servers that I've worked with through the years. They talk about, oh, these people don't tip, or that person don't tip, you know. Well, you look at that person and you figure out, hey, that dude works at McDonald's, or, you know, they work and make a minimum wage. If they did tip you, you know, that's good. See, I always looked at tips as, I never count on them. I never counted on tips. I always looked at them as something extra, not something that I was really owed. That way I wouldn't have an attitude about the people that don't tip.
Well, here's the thing.
That keeps me from...
But here's the thing about tips, though. So I'm going to go back to what you said first. People getting upset because somebody didn't tip them, and you're saying, well, if they're making minimum wage, they can't afford to tip. Well, also tagged along with that should be, if you are going to require service from a position that their income basically resides on tips, then you should follow that guideline. If you can't afford the tip, then you shouldn't be eating out
and being served. Okay, and if you shouldn't be eating out, then you have one less customer.
Okay.
And do you know what would happen to businesses that if everybody took on that, how much business they would lose because of that? Well, if you can't afford the tip, you shouldn't go out.
You shouldn't go out to a place where you're being served and where a tip is customary and expected. It's not fair for that server. You don't become a server to make the hourly wage. It's not why you do that.
No.
You become a server for a tip. You're a bartender. What you're doing is you're allowing the McDonald's worker, or let's just say a worker who is not making enough money to tip or to feel comfortable tipping, you're allowing them to absorb the services of the person in a tipped position who is counting on that money to support their family. It doesn't work. That's not equal. You want equal, that's absolutely lopsided. It's not like the server is an independently wealthy person. They've just made a better decision on how to multiply their income.
To be a server at the restaurant that they're at. Because, you know, a lot of developed countries, they don't tip. They pay their workers enough money where tipping is frowned upon.
And in those same countries,
this is how business gets over.
But see, here's how they're redirecting. You're missing a part.
They're redirecting the anger that you would have because that person did tip you instead of going, hey, you know, this place, if I make hourly, it's only $2.15 an hour. Well, that's on the company that you're working for. No, you realize
it's on the laws of the state, not the company. So it's on the laws of the state. So I'm going to go back to your more developed countries that don't take tips. They also hire professionals whose not summer job, not second job, not third job, but whose actual occupation is a server. They are a professional server, and they have a level of service that's expected, and that's why they get paid that money. It's a career. It's not a summer job. And you look at other places like here, like when I worked in Colorado, your minimum wage as a server was $2.14.
Yep.
Because they've calculated in order to make minimum wage, you're supposedly going to make X amount of dollars in tips. So they calculate that in there. California is a different state where you have to claim your own tips, which is a whole different type of loophole situation.
Uh-huh.
But it doesn't change the fact that if you take that same person that we're talking about that either doesn't make enough money or doesn't make enough money to feel comfortable to tip, you put them in these developed countries that you're talking about that don't have, that the servers don't get tips. And guess what? They don't get to eat there because they can't afford the prices that they charge for having a professional service staff. So it doesn't matter how you put it, it's got to be equal. You can't go out and expect the service of something or even the product of somebody and not be able to afford it.
Okay, here's the thing, though. If you're working for a place that's making good money and they realize maybe there's a recession or maybe there's a pandemic or there's a lot of things to take in consideration where, you know, you want to take care, especially the people that provide good service. The people that, you know, the customer feels comfortable with and thinks, wow, you know, that person gave me an experience, not just put my food on the table and told me where the straws were. You know, I think that the company should step up and take care of those people especially. Because you know it just as well as I do. When you do like a big event and everybody's working and then there's a payout, that payout is even. Everybody gets the same. Whether that person provided shitty service or that person provided the best service, it's all even.
Okay.
Right. That's my point. Everybody.
What was the point?
My point is that everybody, whether you do a good job or not, everybody's going to get paid the same.
In that specific example where it's like a large event or banquet, and I'm not sure if that's common everywhere, where we used to work, yeah, that was kind of the deal. But on a day-to-day basis, your report card as a service industry person is the amount of cash that you have in your pocket as you walk out the door.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get lucky. Sometimes you have a bad night. All those things are in there, and it's a give and take. But you can't, well, you shouldn't, in good conscience, know that I can't afford a tip and go sit down at a restaurant to be served. You should go to a restaurant where you can serve yourself.
Well, here's the thing. A lot of people don't realize that some people live on tips.
I can't agree with that.
I don't think anybody in America agrees with that.
There's no chance in hell in today's world works. That you don't know that people depend on tips in a tipping industry.
Yeah, but the thing is, sometimes they think, well, the other person that they taken care of is going to take care of them. You know, like you said, sometimes you have bad nights. Sometimes you have good nights. Sometimes when I'm driving, you know, I'm like, you know, where are all these, you know, $5, $8 trips? Where's my, you know, where's the $20 trip? Where's the $40 trip? Where's the $60 trip? You know, sometimes I, you know, when you get those notifications for trips, you know how quick you gotta, you know, hit it. And sometimes you'll hit it and you're like, oh, fuck. I gotta drive 17 miles to pick up this dude for a $5 trip. Now, granted, it was all highway. And they were at a restaurant right off the freeway, so it didn't take me as long. But when you consider driving that distance and how much gas you're using to get there, you know, it's a business. So some things you just write off. And the person that I picked up was definitely happy that I picked him up. I can't tell you how many times. Matter of fact, I believe that person sent me a message, and they were like, please, please don't cancel on me. I guess, you know, when I talked to him, he told me he'd had drivers, you know, in the past cancel on him because they realized that it was, you know, not that long of a trip, or, you know, and this, you know, and a lot of times those trips are people just, man, had a long ass day at work. I just want to get home. And then, you know, I, like I said, in certain areas, people are, you know, people are waiting longer because there's not as many Uber drivers in their community. If you have enough Uber drivers in your community, you know, you don't have to worry about that. But, you know, San Clemente's nice. Dana Point's nice. Alicia Viejo, nice places. But they don't have a lot of people in the community that drive rideshare. Therefore, I'm in Laguna, and then I get a trip that's in Alicia Viejo or Dana Point, and I have to drive a longer distance to pick that person up because they don't have enough drivers in that area for them to get picked up quick. So, you know, to me, it all equals out eventually. You know, people always, well, what's your longest trip? And I'll tell them, it's either San Diego. San Diego? Wow. And was it worth it? Oh, well, yeah, it's worth it for me because I can work down there in San Diego. And those trips count toward my bonus now. So, yeah, I can work down there. Now, I have to drive back, you know, 50, 60 miles to get back to home. But the amount of money that I made on that trip plus the trips that I took down there, it made it worth it. So, you know, it's no loss on my part. At least I don't feel it as a loss. I'm getting one trip after another. Sometimes I have to travel a little farther, but, you know, I'm staying busy. I think one time last week, I waited 15 minutes in between trips. I was checking the app. I was like, what's wrong? But I was in, like, trying to think. I was out there. I think I was in Fontana or something like that. I was out there. Mm-hmm. And and it was a Sunday or something, it may have been in the evening, not a lot, going on, but
right.
15 minutes, I was like, wow. But that's how spoiled you are with the way things are now, because, sometimes you wait longer than that to get a trip, but now, most of the time, by the time I'm ready to drop off those passengers, I've already got another trip.
Yeah, see, as long as that's happening, everything works out great.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
What when I drove, I did not, granted, it was a different time, but I'd cancel all of those long pickups for the most part. Again, I look at it as a business, and part of my business is I do add a lot of service to it, but, at the end of the day, I'm racing the clock.
Oh, yeah.
You got 6 hours.
No,
you got to take a break.
Like I said, I try to keep it. No, my acceptance rate, I try to keep it no lower than 95%.
Are they still paying you for having a high acceptance rate? Are there bonuses contingent upon?
No, but it does figure into your rating as far as, if you're diamond, gold, the different categories that they have for level of discounts and, their little kickback stuff that they give you for reaching, those levels. They have blue, they have silver, gold, platinum, and diamonds the top. And within those categories, you get certain privileges. You get certain discounts on stuff. I'm diamond, so if I drop somebody off at an airport, I get to jump the line to, if there's another pickup in the airport area, I'll get it before the guy that's been sitting there waiting for a trip, because I've reached the maximum amount of the max level as far as drivers go. So you get that privilege,
right,
of dropping off and then picking up somebody in the airport. And
I gotta tell you what, the LAX drop off and pick up, well, the pickup, the drop off is fine because they just drop you off. But the freaking pickup for LAX is the worst.
You know what?
And it's twice as expensive as it was pre-pandemic.
Well, here's the funny thing. When I first started driving back, I was driving with Lyft, and I got the airport trips, and then I started, I got back with Uber, and I had to get a placard, and that's a whole long story. I think we talked about it before. They don't have, and please don't take this podcast audience, don't take this the wrong way, but they're not using Americans to field these calls as far as if you have a problem. I know I've said it before, but I can't tell you how many times I heard a rooster in the background of one of these customer service people. And I figured it worked.
They were just out of Chino. It's
perfect. I don't know. Maybe so. But I think it's because I noticed some of them have like a Philippine accent. Some of them have like an Indian accent. His name's Kevin. I'm like, okay, I hear you. And the problem was, I'm trying to get an LAX placard.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, all they know is reading from the script that they have. This is what he's asking for. Read the, this is the response you're supposed to give him. And everybody kept giving me the same response. The response was, you live in Orange County. Your airport doesn't need, you don't need a placard for that airport. And I go, yes, I realize that. But I have people in Orange County that drive to LAX. In order for me to pick them up and take them to LAX, I have to have a placard. And for some reason, no one could understand that. They kept going back to, you're Orange County resident. You don't need a placard to drop off at your airport. I go, yes, I know. But I have people in Orange County that travel all the way to LAX. And in order for me to drop them off at LAX, I have to have a placard. And finally, I went to the I went to Uber. They have a spotlight, green stop, right. You know, business where they talk to drivers, and they printed it out for me, and I got it. And
but is there anybody really monitoring you at the airport on whether or not you have that fucking paper in your window?
You know, not really, but the fine is somewhere around $1,000. Bless you.
Thank you. $1,000?
Yeah, I think it was either 900 or it's something like that. And I'm like, you know, I can't afford that. I know that it was a couple of trips with Lyft. They still hadn't passed everything that you needed to, did everything that you needed to do to get the placard. And right. They still hadn't sent it to me in the mail. And so I took an old placard and I taped it to the window. That way, you know, they would at least see, okay, he's got a placard in the window. And you wouldn't get messed with. And there wasn't a big security presence there when I right. did that. But I always made sure that when I dropped somebody off, I would either turn off the app and, you know, drive away so I wouldn't have to. But it's like you said, that Uber pickup at LAX is crazy. And because, because the way it is, I decided, you know, I'll just wait before I get another placard, you know. I get enough trips to L.A. with people just going up there to party, going to clubs or going to the theater right. or something like that. And I don't need, you know, I don't need the hassle of, you know, LAX. And, you know, I do not miss sitting in that, you know, there were times where I would pick up somebody, I'd drive them to LAX, I would get to the airport, and it would take me longer to get to the spot to drop them off than the whole trip to get them there. Yeah, now that's great. Yeah, yeah. But it's,
that's, you know, just a dreadful waste of time is what that is.
Yeah, it's one of the busiest airports, and they're, you know, they're fixing that. They're using that, you know, they're installing that people mover. That's supposed to reduce the amount of traffic by like 50%. We'll see. But at least, you know, it's long overdue. But it should have always had mass transit connected to that, so it made it easier for people to get there or leave.
Well, I just think it was built in a time where not that many people traveled by airplane.
Right.
And it never got refurbished to current day times where everybody and their children and mother can hop on a plane.
You know, everybody and their children and mother been traveling. Okay.
Well, that's, you know, you could have said that. You could have said that.
You could have said that 50 years ago. That not as many people, you know, would take an airplane trip, but they had plenty of time to figure out, hey, this is one of the busiest airports in the United States. We need to do something to, you know, fix the situation where, you know, people don't have to be inconvenienced when they're going to the airport.
Well, I try to avoid LAX like the friggin' plague.
Yeah, if I gotta pay a little bit more, as far as, you know, I'll fly out of Orange County. You know, it might cost me $75 more. I'll do that before I'll, you know, because when you figure what it costs for you to drive to LA, and you're gonna have
which
to
is
leave.
Now double. It used to be $50 yeah. bucks. Yeah. It was, I think it was $120 for me to get home the last time I did that from LAX.
What? Maybe
$120.
Maybe it was Surge.
Man, I sat there for 35 minutes flipping between both apps, and it was anywhere from 96 to the 120 that I paid.
Mm.
Between both of them. And I, like I said, I sat there for 30 minutes going back and forth. Thinking, like, these guys are all crazy. And it wasn't busy, because it was, like, I think it was, like, 9 o'clock or 9:30 on a Friday night that I was coming into L.A. So, when I got there,
well, it wasn't there was no busy line at the airport, but Friday night, you got drivers at, you know, this bar, that bar, they're all spread out, you know, because it's Friday night. Demand is big. So, if you're at the airport, you know, it's going to cost you. It's like I told these people, you know, Cinco de Mayo.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking in the car, and they were talking about how they had, you know, such a wait time, and they were so glad that, you know, I was able to get there, you know, quick and take them out, and they hadn't been out for a while, but the few times that they had, you know, they had driver cancel on them, or, you know, the surge was twice as much as what it normally cost them to get home. And I said, hey, just remember, either a half hour before closing or a half hour after closing, and that'll save you money. Because if you order an Uber at closing, all these places are closing at the same time. What that means is those Uber drivers are spread out. And because they're spread out picking up, you know, at all these places, you're gonna pay more. Because there's going to be less drivers, you know, to work with you and pick you up. So it's always good. I'd say at least. It's just like, I think they were in Anaheim. I had these girls, they were from out of town. And, I know what it was. They were from out of town. They wanted to go to a baseball game. And they were in Anaheim by Disneyland. And I wasn't in the conversation. They were talking amongst themselves. And it says, they were thinking about going to Dodger Stadium. And they were like, oh, from our airport, it's only 42 minutes. And I said, excuse me?
She from says, what airport? Orange County?
I mean, not from the airport. From our hotel. From our hotel in Anaheim. That it would take them 42 minutes to get to Dodger Stadium. And I said,
if they had a helicopter.
I said, excuse me. I said, excuse me. Did you say that it said it would take you 42 minutes to go from your hotel to Dodger Stadium? She goes, yeah. And I was like, I'm here to tell you that ain't gonna work. She's like, huh? And I was like, no, no, you better figure at least 1.5, 2 hours to get to Dodger Stadium.
And it was right before the game was going to be starting, I'm assuming?
Yeah, I guess. And I was like, you know, I ain't got nothing against Dodger Stadium. But it took me 45 minutes just to get up there to the drop-off point. I was right at Dodger Stadium. For me to drive around it, you know, it goes around in a big circle. In order for me to get them where they needed to be, it took 45 minutes just to go 2 miles. Yeah. And she was like, wow. I was like, you know, I said, are you Dodger fans? She says, no, we just like baseball. I was like, hey, Anaheim has a team.
Yeah.
It's like, it'd be a whole lot, you know, you're going to be a whole lot closer, and it's going to be a whole lot.
Now, that might take you 40 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, your chances of getting there and back are a whole lot, you know, less time than drive up to Dodger Stadium and try to get back. Did you know that they have the L.A. Fair going on up there now?
Yeah. Yeah, it's early this year. I don't know why.
It used to be after Orange County Fair.
Right. It's usually August, September, like middle of August to September, and they're both going on.
Well, I heard some people on the phone talking about, I mean, on the radio talking about they were happy that it was early because when they usually have it, it's hot as hell.
Well, yeah, it's in Pomona in August.
Yeah. So they changed that up.
Well, I tell, you know, my boss will come out here and ride along with me because he's from Michigan. And so when he first time he ever came out here was to interview me the first time. And then the second time he came out was when I started working. And that was the second time ever in California. So I think it was last summer or maybe, I think it was last summer. We had to make a couple different tours around some offices and shit like that. And so he's talking to me. He's like, so how long is it going to take? You know, or how far is it from this place to this place? So you got to remember something. So you're in California. It's not about how far something is. It's about how much time it's going to take you to get there.
No joke.
And we had an appointment in the Valley, San Fernando Valley, and then had to be in Long Beach. And we were leaving the meeting from San Fernando. It wasn't San Fernando, but it was like North LA. It was like 3:30, and we were supposed to be in Long Beach at 4. So our one meeting ran over. I'm like, dude, this is going to take us a long time. And I think it was 14 miles, and I think it took us about 1.5 hours.
Yep.
To go 14 miles, going down the 405 all the way down into Long Beach. And he's like, wow, you weren't kidding about that. And I go, no.
Now, my acceptance rate, that's where this kicks in.
Okay.
Because I accept the majority of trips that I get.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, sometimes, and I get it, Uber wants drivers up there because there's a bigger demand up in LA for, you know, there's more concentrated people. So okay, there's more people using Ubers. But sometimes I'll cancel a trip going to L.A. when it's, you know, rush hour.
Right.
Because even when I get up there, even if the trip was enough money, worth the money to drive up there, you know, I'm driving somebody 5 miles and it's taking me 1/2 hour.
Right.
I'm driving somebody 2 miles and it's taking me 20 minutes.
Right.
And it's like, you know, now, granted, Uber's giving you 55 cents per trip for gas, but when you sit in 20 minutes in traffic to drive somebody and you're only going 2 miles, that defeats the whole purpose of that 55 cent extra. you know, per trip.
Anytime you're not moving
at it's costly.
Freeway speeds, you're losing money.
Yeah.
For the most part. You know, and that's the way I always looked at it, and that's why I didn't really care about my acceptance rate, unless they were paying them bonuses, because of it. But I just think, like, you know, as many times as I just made the good guy decision and, like, shit, I'm going to do this, it never really totally panned out for me, right? Financially. Mm-hmm. We're talking business sense. So I got to a point where I just stopped doing it. If it wasn't going to be something that indicated it was a long trip and it was a long time for me to go pick people up, I wouldn't do it. Because every time I had done it in the past, they would be gone. Or they would have, requested Uber and Lyft at the same time. Whichever one got there first, they'd get in and wouldn't cancel the trip. Or, I got lost a few times because people dropped a weird pin and I'm just following the pin and it's the middle of nowhere. So, I just stopped doing it.
I'm always a little apprehensive. Like, when you're picking up people at stadiums or at
I stopped doing ball it. 100% games. I stopped doing it.
I tried it, yeah. Because, like I said, you get four guys. And I found this out through Uber trip. They had ordered a Uber and the other guy ordered it from Lyft, and whoever got there first, they either canceled that trip. A lot of times they didn't even cancel the trip that didn't pick them up. They just left with the other car.
Yeah.
And then you're in that traffic going around waiting for somebody that's already...
Calling them, where the hell they're at.
And then, so, I kind of steer... first thing I do is I look to see what events are on the map. And then I'll make sure that, okay, they need people around this time. I'll let somebody else get those trips. I'm going to be in this part of town.
Well, that was the worst one I ever had, is I got roped into... I was on the freeway. And I didn't pay attention, and it was like a... I was chasing a surge zone. And all of a sudden, it was a five times. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And I go, and I... And before I realize it, I'm on the backside of Dodger Stadium going through the residential area for the entrance. I was in that line for 2 hours. Not only that, but they don't have any fucking cell service.
Yep.
I get to the top. The parking lot's empty.
Yep.
Nobody was even there.
Yep.
And I finally get to the top and I call my people and they're like, oh, we canceled that like an hour ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm
heard
just...
heard that one before.
Son of a bitch.
I was mad. I was boiling. And I was like, I told you that time... I dropped somebody off downtown LA and I started seeing these people walking around in Dodger shirts and I was like, oh shit, this is a Dodger game. I gotta get out of here. So I drove all the way down to Santa Fe Springs with the app off.
With their app off?
Uh-huh. Thinking, okay. Santa Fe Springs, I should be safe. I get to Santa Fe Springs. First trip I get, I just hit it, boom. Take the trip. It was in La Habra, which isn't that far from Santa Fe Springs.
Okay. It's not that close either.
Yeah. That trip was going to Dodger Stadium. Now, the only good part was it was like they were getting there. I think it was in between the first and second inning. So the majority of the traffic was gone.
See, I don't mind dropping people off. It's the picking them up that I don't like. Because they never know where they're at. They don't communicate very well.
Well, I make sure I communicate with them.
Most people coming out of an event are intoxicated in one way or another.
Yeah, I know. But I let them know, hey, I'm in a dark-colored Ford Fusion, and I'll have... And I'll tell you, it works beautifully. I have my hazards on. So if I'm picking up somebody at Disney or something like that, you know, a lot of those guys, when they pull in, you know, they just pull in. I tell them, look for the car with the hazard lights flash.
I should do that too, yeah.
And 9 chances out of 10, it's an easy, smooth deal. Sometimes I'll even call them and say, hey, I'm right around the corner. I'm waiting in line. I'll be in a dark-colored Fusion, and I'll have my hazards on. And sometimes they'll come to me so I don't have to go, you know, through the whole parking lot and like that. And that works beautifully.
Yeah, I used to call people when I knew it was, you know, when I couldn't get out of it being a pickup or something, and tell them, you know, usually go across the street to whatever restaurant is over there.
Right.
And, you know, McCormick and Schmitz, I think, is the one across from mm-hmm. the Honda Center. And then
you're right.
Golden Road Brewery across the street from the Angel Stadium.
Or even the transportation center.
Oh, yeah. The train station?
Yeah. You know, that's a good spot. But I don't know, man.
What'd you end up doing for Mother's Day? Did you drive or did you hang out with your mother-in-law and your wife?
I did both.
Yeah?
Yeah. Called my mom, see how she was doing, wished her a happy Mother's Day, and I got her flowers and hung out here and then went out and didn't have a whole bunch of mothers. I didn't stay out late either.
No. You know, well, Mother's Day is kind of more of an early day event.
Yeah.
Brunches and lunches and
right
things of that nature.
You know, the crazy thing was, and it just goes to show you where the world is. I pick up this kid. He's at this country club on Mother's Day. He was a server.
Uh-huh.
And he normally works up in L.A., but I guess the company that he works for, they alerted him that they were short in Orange County. Would he like to make some extra money going down there? He was like, yeah, sure. So he goes to that country club. It's exclusive golf country club.
Mm-hmm.
It's not open to the public. And, you know, they had this Mother's Day buffet. And when I pick up this kid, he just looked like he was, like, wore down. And, you know, I'm talking to him. I just hear him with this big sigh in the back of the car. I'm like, hey, what's going on? He's like, man... He goes, I'm not from down here. Normally I work up in L.A., but he goes, I just can't believe the amount of food that was wasted at this event. And I was like, what do you mean? He says, you know, it was a buffet, and right. you could get whatever you wanted and like that. He said, but I can't tell you how many plates of food that we threw away. You know, someone got a steak and didn't eat any of the steak, and we just had to throw it away. And all this food, and he's like, man, it's so depressing. And he lived in the hood. And mm-hmm. he was thinking about the people in the hood that, you know, dang, you know, if he could have brought this food to them, they would, you know, they would appreciate it. And he goes, I don't understand. It was a buffet. You get what you want to eat. And, you know, he was just talking about just the amount of food that was just thrown away. And I was like, yeah, it's a lot. You think that's a lot of food? Just remember this. That is just one country club. That is just one event. If you figure how many events happened in that area and then how many events happened in that state with that amount of waste going on, it's not hard to figure out, you know. I mean, it's a hard look at how people that have and that can afford to waste food. There's some people that cannot afford to waste food. Those are poor people. You know, I remember my mom. I mean, we weren't poor, but, you know, she might say, oh, we're going to have oxtail soup. And my little brother's like, I don't like oxtail. She goes, then you're not hungry, are you? I'm like, huh? That's what we're having for dinner. See, when you're hungry, you eat what's available. And that kind of stuck with me. And see, I was the kid. I ate everything. It was.
Oh, we know. You used to eat your dad's food, poor man.
Yeah, I still feel bad about that.
You should.
Yeah, I know. But man, I was hungry. I wasn't even thinking about that stuff, man. You know, you just selfish. Just selfish. You know, my father work, you know, 12 hours. Sometimes, you know, work overtime. Come home. My mom always had a plate for him in the oven. He'd come home and be like, why did this woman work 12, 14 hours? All she gave me was one piece of chicken. Or, you know, sometimes I try to fix it up. I put it like a wing in there or something. If I took like a thigh or a breast or something, I put a wing in there. You're like, why was she? And then he would figure it out. It's like, poor. See, and my father loved me, but he didn't like me all the time. And I understand, you know, you work 14 hours and you hungry and you come home and then you realize one of my damn kids ate my dinner after I went out here and worked 14 hours. But, you know, you do dumb things. And when you know better and you learn better, then you're supposed to do better. And I did. You know, and now, you know, I can look back at that and just go, wow, really? And I never took in consideration, you know, here he is keeping a roof over our heads and food in the fridge and, you know.
Well, I was about to say, I don't know if there's any repentance enough for eating a working man's dinner. On the sly. After you already ate.
Man.
In my teens,
I ate an incredible large amounts of food. And I just burned it up. Nothing stuck to me. And I remember we went to it was like a buffet. And I thought, you know, I seen my dad and he paid for, you know, the whole meal and you could eat whatever you want as much as you want at the buffet. And the way my brain worked was, I'm going to make sure Dad gets his money's worth. And man, I don't know how many plates of food I ate, but my father just looked at me and shook his head. He goes, boy, that's just crazy. I'm thinking I'm doing him a favor because I'm making sure he gets his money's worth. But, man.
Meanwhile, you're embarrassing him in front of the entire restaurant.
Exactly. Like, this boy just keeps plates coming. Just goes up there, boom, boom, boom. Fill, you know, not partially full plate, full plate. Down it, get another plate. Down it, get another plate. And it was just, you know, he didn't get that about me. It wasn't that I was being greedy. It was like I said, I was still hungry after eating a full plate, two full plates. I remember one Thanksgiving, I ate like, my mother made these homemade rolls, and I ate 3 dozen just homemade rolls. They weren't little rolls. Man, my mama makes some good dinner rolls, man. And I know my record was 3 dozen at one sitting. One sitting. And that was at Thanksgiving. And I don't know how many plates of food I had. I know it was over 2 or 3. And 3 dozen rolls. But then it wasn't until I went into college that that metabolism started slowing down. And I was like, uh-oh. It's like, I was skinny, except for I had a stomach. It looked like I was one of them children that you see on them care commercials. They just like, all skinny and drawn up, but they got this belly protruding. And I didn't like that look, so I think I was like, I got up to like 218 pounds, man.
Man, I got a left ass cheek that weighs 218 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great little anchor to carry around.
Mm-hmm. I ain't got to worry about that. My anchor's gone now, man. It's like, man, I got room in the back of these jeans, man. I lost some of my ass meat back there.
Well, that's a shame. Yeah. That is a shame. You know, I didn't even tell you on Easter, speaking of wasted food. So we had, we were going to host Easter. It was probably going to be about 25 people. I think 22 people, 25 people, including kids and such.
Mm-hmm.
So we're putting together a menu and, you know, I looked up a bunch of recipes for Easter. And one thing that kept popping up was crown roast, which I'd never made before, and I thought, oh, that'd be interesting, kind of an old-school thing to make. So, had a special order of crown roast from the butcher. Got a big old honey-baked ham for 20 people, and then I also did smoked tri-tip. Everybody was going to bring something. You know, it was going to be my folks, Aaron's, both sides of Aaron's family, and then brother and sister-in-law's, my brother, uncle, so forth. So in total, like 25 people. So we're kind of sitting around and, you know, my wife, she,
Hey, can you hear me? For some reason, you cut out. I don't hear nothing.
Oh, I don't know how I did that. I muted myself.
Yeah.
Where did I go out at?
I don't know. You were making some gestures and stuff. And I was like, hey, man, his mouth is moving.
Did you not hear me that whole time?
You just finished talking about the ham and all the food that you made.
Oh, well, so anyways, I ended up, you know, I'm sitting on the patio waiting for people to come in. And it's about time people started showing up. And we get a phone call, and I answer it. It's one of my sister-in-laws. their dad was taking care of his oldest sister, went over to go check on her Easter, and she had passed away.
Oh, damn.
So I'm like getting this information real time. I'm like, oh, shit, I'm so sorry. Now, she was ill, you know, so it wasn't a complete surprise, but she was still living at home and on her own and everything, and she's a great lady. So ended up, we had all that food for like six people and had to throw a good portion of it away. Actually, I gave, you know what I started doing? An idea my mom gave me. I get to-go containers and I force people to take food home with them.
Yeah.
But instead of like Tupperware, you can just get some, you know, to-go containers from Smart and Final, pack them up, bag them up, and off you go.
Well, see, so, you know, we never had that problem with my family. Because old Frank, they like, Frank will take care of it, it'll be gone.
He wore the leftovers.
And then, like, if we go, like, to my grandmother's and she had this big thing, always had a couple of cousins. I mean, man, they would have their pockets lined with aluminum foil. They were taking stuff. You don't mind them taking stuff, but dang, you know, that was half a ham. How did you... Where did you put that at? Where did you put that half a ham at? And, you know, you see this bump out of they jacket or something like that. I could have sworn some of them had, like I said, they had aluminum foil lined in their pockets, and they just... Oh, you should just go get a plate.
Wow.
Definitely didn't waste food, that was for sure. If you did, it wasn't much.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I remember as a kid, like, my dad and I would fight over, like, the last of something. Like, in probably my early teens, I would start to get a little bit more loud about it. And then he shut that down pretty quickly, but... It'd always be like one piece of chicken fried steak left. And I'd be like, I want it. And I'd be like, that's for your dad. And why does he always get the last piece? That kind of shit.
Yeah. When you kid, you don't be such, you thinking only about yourself.
Such little dicks.
Yeah. It's like, wait a minute, you mean the dude that brought you into this world that keeps a roof over your head? You asking why he has to get that?
Who bought the damn meat?
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, you get older and you're supposed to get wiser. You're supposed to learn from that kind of stuff. And I definitely did.
Yeah. Yeah, I had to go apologize to my parents not too long ago. Just for being a little asshole most of my life. What do you got going on for this week? Anything?
Just driving. I'll be driving tonight.
You wanna join us at DragCon on Saturday?
I'm going up during DragCon.
Come on, man.
I see enough drag queens driving Uber.
Like
you ain't
like,
fool.
This is like the king of the queens, though.
Yeah. You ain't fooling me.
Bullshit. I picked up everybody. The good ones.
I've picked up some drag queens and took them to the, you know, the bar and stuff. And I mean, they were cool. They were funny.
Yeah.
They like my hair.
I'm sure.
And they were like, this one, we were talking, and she was like, if you were a drag queen, your name would be Sashay something something. I was like, damn, I like the sound of that. It was like Sashay Fierce or something like that. It was some creative name. I was like, that sounds pretty good. I like that.
Okay. Well, good. Now I know what to call you. Can't call you Friendly Fink. Sashay Fierce it is.
No, I don't even remember. But it was something fierce or something. It was funny.
That's cool. I can call you Miss Fierce. I don't mind.
No, you ain't calling me Miss Fierce. You the one going to the drag shows, buddy.
Well, but I don't have my own drag name. So, I mean...
I don't have my own drag name either.
Miss Fierce, we got it already.
This is somebody's suggestion. Like, all right.
Somebody's suggestion that you liked, Miss Fierce.
Well, it sounded like, if you were going to be a drag queen, that sounded like a good name. And then I even came home and I told my wife, and she was like, oh, that's so-and-so.
That's Beyonce's alter ego, Sasha Fierce.
Yes, that's it. That's it. That's it. And then when I realized that it was Beyonce, then I didn't feel the same way about it.
Why not?
So I'm not no big Beyonce fan. I hold grudges. She did her family wrong, man. She did the people that started off with her, she did them wrong. Those relatives. When she was living that, when she was
living that. She left Destiny's Child and went to do her solo career?
No, even when she was with Destiny's Child, you know, she was living it extravagant. And then they were like in a studio room.
Yeah, she's the star.
She's also family, man. You don't do family like that.
That's like saying that how could Michael Jackson have the Neverland Ranch and Tito just be sitting on the couch in his home and wherever?
Same Tito, thing. Tito was doing better than sitting on the couch. They shared the wealth in the or Jackson Latoya. Family. Well, Latoya's ass is crazy, so, you know, you don't get as much if you... You get plenty of love, but, you know, hey, we can't invite you to everything, Latoya.
And actually, but one of those other girls made it big, too. Out of Destiny's Child.
Yeah. I like her songs. I like that. But as far as going, dang. I never looked at Beyonce and was like, dang, I wish I was with that.
I don't find her to be as attractive as other people. Like, I don't think she's super smoking hot.
Yeah. Yeah, she all right.
Good for her for bringing thick booties back. I can give her props for that.
Well, I think Jennifer Lopez did it better.
Well... She brought, like, the Latina look in.
Yeah.
Beyonce brought more of the, like, thick thighs, thick hips.
Okay.
That's how I see it.
All I know is J-Lo's thick thighs, too.
No, she was all, like, booty.
She's booty, but she got some thick... Thick. Sounds to me
like you've been doing a lot more research than I have.
Hey, man. When Frank look at you, it's almost like Terminator vision, man. I'm studying. Ting, 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 ting. I take it all in. That way I have a memory print. If there's anything, I'll tell you, I did when I was doing background work. When I was doing background work, I did a video with, I was in a video with Alicia Keys.
Uh-huh.
And we were at this old church in L.A. And Man, I was sitting right next to her. And she is flawless.
Skin, yeah, I can see that.
It didn't even need makeup. She's just beautiful. I think I may have creeped her out a little bit because I was like, you know, oh boy. It's Alicia Keys. Oh boy. I thought about you, Alicia Keys. Oh, I sure did. Now I'm sitting right next to you. Right next to you.
Yeah, so ladies, take note. Should Friendly Frank get his eyes on you, you're locked in the vault.
Yeah. Hey, it's just like Prince said. If a man is considered for what goes on in his mind, give me the electric chair for all my future crimes, I'll be guilty. I look. But see, it's not just that. You know, I can walk into a room.
You don't have to backpedal now. It's fine.
I'm not backpedaling.
It's cool. You're okay.
I'm
you're in a safe place.
I try to when I look at things, I look for the details.
Uh huh.
I use all my senses.
Like what specifically?
It's just like anything. Like I said, if I walk into a room and I go back into it, leave and go back into it, and something's been moved, usually I know what's been moved. I can look at the pattern on a rug when it's freshly vacuumed. And if I see that it's been stepped on here or there, I notice that.
See, ladies and gentlemen, not all superheroes wear capes. Some of them just notice the vacuum tracks.
Well, some notice, you know, in Uber, you better be looking for details. You better be noticing stuff. You know, I was, you know, especially like when you're driving around in the hood and you start seeing people circling around you and like that, you better be paying attention. I am on full alert. You ain't going to catch me looking at my phone and then you throw a gun in my face. You know, there's plenty of times where I was like, okay, this is sketchy. You know, especially when you're picking up people from... And I'm sorry, but usually when I pick up someone from Motel 6... and it has to be between the hours of... 10:30 to 1:30. If I'm picking you up then you have some issues. I have never picked up a modern American family, you know, at Motel 6. It's always somebody, you know, and I'm like, that smells like crack. Smells like, is that meth? I can't, you know, if you can't keep your jaw still, if, you know, you're doing a round trip from here to the liquor store, you know, that kind of crazy stuff. I picked up this guy, he went to 7-Eleven. And he's telling me, you know, he's talking this, you know, just talking, just yip, 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 yip. And I'm like, okay. You talking more than normal. You on something. And it was a drug deal. I knew it was a drug deal. He went into 7-Eleven. I'm sitting in the car and I'm watching him talk to the guy at the... and it's just another customer over there by the... where you get the drinks. The refrigerated section. Uh-huh. And I can see this through the window. And they shake hands, and I saw a money exchange, and then I seen the other hand come back with something, and then he didn't even buy anything in 7-Eleven. He just left. And I was like, dang, I just witnessed a drug deal.
Well, I mean, now, you're partly involved in the drug deal.
I wasn't involved. I'm sitting in the car.
I mean, transportation of narcotics is still a crime.
Well, like I said, maybe it could have been no drugs, but it was drugs. Now, it ain't none of my damn business. As long as you ain't getting in my car smoking no meth or crack in my car, if that's what you got to do, you know, be careful. It all catches up with you sooner or later.
So you think he has a right to sell drugs?
No. But I can't honestly say that what was exchanged was drugs. Mm-hmm. Now, just because you look like you on drugs, and you look like you needed some drugs when you got in my car, and you went in there to 7-Eleven and didn't buy anything, but you shook hands and exchanged money with somebody, you know, I just put all the details together, and I come up with...
Yeah. That was an example of your superpowers, the detail gathering.
Well, yeah, when you see that, yeah. You didn't even buy anything. And then he tried to play it off when he got in the car. He'd go, what a coincidence. I saw a friend in 7-Eleven. I'm like, okay, man. All right. Okay. If that makes you feel better, okay.
Well, let me ask you this. If the guy would have gotten in your car and been like, hey, we got to go to 7-Eleven real quick. I got to get a fix. Would you still have taken him?
Well, I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
Like, whatever, he was just straight up and honest. He's like, man, sorry this is a quick trip, but I got to get some drugs.
I don't know. I haven't ran into that. The only people that do that are the ones that go to the... go to the dispensary. I get all these people from out of town. You know, you pick them up at a hotel. And then act like they got an attitude when you say, well, I don't know where a dispensary is around here. You know, some places, yeah, I know. And they're like, come on, you don't know? Like, no! No, motherfucker! I'm not, you know, weed maps. I don't know where, you know, we in... Commerce, the city of Commerce. I don't know where the weed shops are in the city of Commerce. Now, if you're talking about Anaheim, I know where a few are. If you're talking about Costa Mesa or, Santa Ana, I could probably tell you where some are. But, you know, they act like you got an attitude because I'm like, I don't know. Only one I know is about 11 miles from here. Oh, that's too far. Well, okay. I guess you don't want to get high.
Well, now it's so easy. You just have it delivered. You don't even have to go anywhere anymore.
Yeah, that's what I try to tell them. You know, but, you know, a lot of these people that I've come in contact with are from out of town. And so it's like, you know, like the one guy told me, I live in I forgot where he lived. I think it was Florida. And he was like, you know, I'm getting this before I go back. I'm like, okay.
Well, see, why don't you do that instead of Uber?
Nope.
Uh-uh. A little pot.
Nope.
Why not?
Don't want to.
Everybody's happy to see you when you show up?
Don't want to.
Why not?
Because I don't.
Maybe you get discounts?
Don't want to.
I think you should.
Mm-hmm. I think you should too.
All right, buddy. Well, I think we're done for this episode.
Yeah.
You got any final words of wisdom?
Yeah. Live, learn, do better. That's it. That's all.
Learn, do better. You heard it from the one and only.
Be better. Do better. Be better.
Do better, be better.
The world needs it. And you will soon find out why I say that. Maybe next episode.
You heard it here. First and Fast by Sasha Fierce. Sasha's been great. I look forward to next week, buddy.
All right.
Till next time. Later.
Later.